Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Servants, Paul emphasized it. Deacons, the word deacon is the word doulos. It means servant. The word minister is an under rower. That's the one that's in the lowest part of the galley, the lowest part of the slave ships that rowed, that sometimes never saw the light of day. No limelight, no glory, but they were the ones that made things happen. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus approaching, prior to seeing Jesus approaching, he said, "One cometh after me whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. I must decrease so that he can increase." I want to preach this morning on being a servant of God, and we've got a picture of it in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Eliezer, who was a servant to Abraham. Go to Genesis in chapter 24. I want to read some of this morning. Before I read it, let me give you this. Abraham is getting and giving final direction to his son Isaac through his servant. Isaac is about 40 years of age. Never stop directing and guiding your children. You can't always lord over them. They become adults. But you always have a hand in their life. Don't give up on him. This passage also speaks of God's providential care for his children. Also, it's a picture of Christ and the church. By the way, Isaac, I don't know if you ever thought about this before, gets a Gentile bride. That's Christ and the church. There's some great pictures here. There's a lot of meat in this passage of Scripture. Here's what's going to happen. Abraham is going to send his head servant back to Mesopotamia to find a bride for his son. That was Oriental culture, where the parents picked the bride. Don't get all hung up on that. It's not a bad thing. I think parents ought to have a say in it. I really do. That's not a bad thing at all, but don't be a 21st century young man or young woman and get all hung up on that and not hear anything else the Bible has to say about it. That was the culture of the day. And Abraham was a patriarch. And Abraham was involved in that, all right? Verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. He's just about ready to die. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. What a great statement. As you let that sink in, let's stand one more time for prayer. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. God in heaven, we read this morning in the New Testament that that would be the greatest would be the servant of all. That goes against the grain in our thinking right here in America. That goes against the grain in our 21st century culture of me-ism and mine. Dear God, I pray that you would raise up true servants of God in Fundamental Baptist Church. Every ministry needs them. Every household needs them. God, people who be reliable and obedient and get the job done and depend on you for power and go to you in prayer and do the right thing. God, give us faithfulness, and God, may we be wise enough as this servant was to give all the glory to God. Lord Jesus, would you raise up people in Fundamental Baptist Church that just want to see this area reach for Christ, and it isn't about them. Oh God, may you visit us today in great power, individually, one-on-one, and as a church corporate. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There has got to be people in the family of Fundamental Baptist Church, in this congregation, who are true servants. There's got to be people that they're not interested in being behind a microphone. And if it happens from time to time, it happens, but that's not what they're about. They're not interested in getting pats on the back. It's going to happen from time to time, but that's not what it's about. There've got to be people that are willing to make other people a success and never have their name mentioned. By the way, those are the people that will receive the greatest rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ. We are going to be shocked at who receives rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where every Christian is going to stand. There are going to be unsung heroes. People, you've never heard their name. I have never heard their name. I don't even know what's going on behind the scenes sometimes. They truly are those under rowers that make things happen. And God knows who they are. And they are heaven's heroes. And they are greatest in the family of God. Step aside, Pastor Big Shot. There's a real servant of God that's going to receive all kinds of rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ. And that's what we're reading about. We're reading about a servant of God, a literal servant of Abraham, who Abraham trusted. You know why Abraham trusted him? He'd been faithful. He had been reliable. He had been loyal through thick and thin. And here we read that Abraham's an old man, and he'd been blessed of God in all things. Verse 2 says, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." This is an intimate vow. It was part of the custom of the day. It would be like, I'm going to promise something to Josh, Pastor Josh. He was going to make me promise to take a vow. I would walk over to him, and I'm not going to do it right now, but I'd put my hand under his thigh. And under his thigh, I would make a promise. That was a sign of, it was just part of their culture. Again, don't get all hung up on that, all right? The holy kiss was there too. Don't get all hung up on that kind of thing. It's a different culture, all right? But it was real. It was a vow. Abraham took his most trusted servant and said, I want you to make me a promise. My son is very important to me. And I want you to make me a promise that you will never break. The man had already proven his faithfulness, his loyalty. He'd been with Abraham over the years. Verse 3, let's continue to read. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but that thou go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Isaac was so important to Abraham. He said, I want you to promise me that you will find a wife for my son, not out of the land of Canaan, not among the Canaanites, not from the world, because it is so important. I want you to go back to my kinsmen back in Mesopotamia, and I want you to find someone of our household, someone who worships the Lord God Jehovah. Let's take our Bibles before we go any further. You know what I'm going to turn to, but I want to ring the bell one time real loud this morning. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, a Bible principle. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And verse 14, I hope every parent memorizes this verse and every teenager get down in their heart. You don't go to the world for a lifelong mate. You don't become unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And by the way, there are a lot of people willing to say they believe if you'll just marry them. You know, you got to have a little bit of wisdom about you. This was so important to Abraham. He was being blessed of God in the land of Canaan. By the way, the land of Canaan was the land that was promised to Abraham. It was going to be the land of the Hebrews, part of the Abrahamic covenant. But all around him was idol worshipers. He said, you don't find a wife for Isaac here. I want you to travel all the way back to Mesopotamia. And in Mesopotamia, you find someone of our household. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? It goes on and elaborates on that even more so. Don't be looking to the world for a mate in life. I'm telling you, win the world to Christ. Be that salt and light. But don't be looking there for a husband. Don't be looking there for a wife. It works out sometimes. Because sometimes somebody gets saved and they really do sell out for God. But I'm telling you, 98, 99% of the time, it's a mess. A hot mess. Abraham was concerned about his son. And he said to his servant, Eliezer, I want you to take it personal. And I want you to take it serious. And this man was a man on a mission. He was a servant of Abraham. By the way, you do not need what the world has. You are a child of God. There is nothing out there in the culture that is going to meet your needs spiritually. Nothing. There's a lot out there that will hurt you. Hear the word of God. I'm trying to help you this morning. Don't look to the world for answers, no matter how much it glitters. No matter what kind of song they are singing. Man, you look to God. Abraham was so serious about this. He took his most trusted servant. He says, I want you to take it personal, and I want you to take it serious. And I want you to go on a mission, and I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. Let's read on here. Verse 5, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must needs I bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest. Now listen, this is really good. He said, what if the woman that is to be the wife of your husband, your son Isaac, what if she's not willing to come back with me? Do I bring Isaac to her? Abraham said, no, you don't take him to Mesopotamia. You don't tempt my son by doing wrong. I will free you of the vow if she is not willing to come home, if she is not willing to come here. But don't take Isaac there. He's living in the land of promise. Let's read on. Abraham said unto him, verse 6, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Bring her to Canaan. Don't bring my son to Mesopotamia. By the way, there's some great pictures here. The church is never to reach the world by becoming like the world. Never. The church is to be attractive to the world, and that the world will come to the church and be changed, be born again. The world is not to be attractive to the sons of Abraham, to the sons of God. Man, we're not to be looking there for answers. If something's starting to glitter, man, turn your head on it. That's nowhere to go. He said, you don't do that. You don't bring my son there. Verse 7, and the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. Talking about Canaan land. And he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath, this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. Says it twice. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. I read that the first time in my twisted sense of humor, thought to myself, well, I wonder how big he thinks his wife is going to be. But that some of you aren't even on the same page there. That's okay, all right? It's not Bible. Let me read Bible. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. A servant of God is going to be reliable, verses 1 through 4. A servant of God is going to be obedient, verses 5 through 9. A servant of God will recognize this. God will provide everything needed to get the job done. He took 10 camels from his master Abraham, and all that Abraham owned was in his possession, was in his hands. He could do some real dealing. God will provide everything Fundamental Baptist Church needs to reach Chippewa County. Now I'm preaching at Pastor Rader right now. I get accused of being a visionary. And I think I am. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it isn't a bad thing. Somebody's got to be a visionary. But I understand this. I have been trying to add on to this church with my leadership and you following to this building for 3 or 4 years now. Now, we've had additions. We've had several additions and several different buildings. But I feel like we should be doing more right now. And I recognize, I'm reading this and I'm studying this week, and I realize God has already put in the hands of Fundamental Baptist Church everything it needs to reach Chippewa County. And it isn't limited there. God will provide anything that we needed beyond what we have. So God is not limited to our facilities. God is not limited to our monies. God is not limited to the things we hold in our hand. The truth is, all the riches of Christ are available to the family of God. I'm in Christ, and He is in me, and, And I'm a joint heir with Christ. It sounds so blasphemous, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches in the book of Romans. When God the Father sees this sinner man, Tim Rader, who's saved by grace, he sees me through the prism of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I've been adopted into the family of God. And God has given to the New Testament church everything it needs to get the job done. And it's a whole lot more than 10 camels. God will provide everything we need. All of the riches of Christ are right here at our disposal. The church is rich in all the things that money can't buy and death can't take away. We got everything we need. And if we'd look to God for the power of God, we'd be able to travel on over to Mesopotamia and bring them back to the land of Canaan. We bring people and bring souls by the scores, by the hundreds, to Jesus Christ. The crowd we had here on Monday makes this crowd look pretty small. It does. You know, it's pretty exciting seeing people shoulder to shoulder everywhere and downstairs and everywhere, and no parking places anywhere. That's pretty exciting. Then we come Sunday morning, there's a half-empty pew right there, and there's another one right behind it, and there's a full-empty pew right up here in the front. And we ought to take it serious. And we ought to take it personal. And we ought to go after the lost. And it shouldn't just be the preachers. In fact, you're going to win more people to Christ than I will if you get on fire and you get zealous. He said, whatever you do, don't bring Isaac to Mesopotamia. Bring Mesopotamia back to the land of Canaan. And I'll provide everything you need. That's a guarantee of God. That's verse 10. Let's go on. Verse 11. And he made the camels to kneel. Just kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So now he's in Mesopotamia. It's a time of the night where the women come and they gather water from the well. Verse 12 says, and he said, O Lord God, here's a prayer. And here's the deal. The servant of God will depend upon God. The servant of God will learn what it is to pray. And he's praying for God's direction. He's praying for God's guidance. Hey, I haven't really made the points real clear. I've been preaching through the text here, but here again it is. The servant of God is reliable. He's faithful. The servant of God is obedient. He's not going to ask any real questions. The servant of God knows that God and recognizes God will provide everything that is needed to get the job done. The servant of God will be a man or a woman of prayer. They'll depend on God for power. They won't manipulate because God doesn't need their help. But they are going to ask God for help. They're not going to do it on their own. Let's read about it. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. Now this is called specific praying, all right? I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The servant of God isn't going to waste any time. He's a man on a mission. He's to the well outside the city. The young ladies are coming. He said, God, I pray that you give me good speed this day. And you would bless the request of my master Abraham. I'm going to ask a young lady to give me water. She'll agree to give me that water, and then she'll say, I'll also give drink to your camels. Let that be the young lady. That's praying specific. A man of great prayer. Let's read on. Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. This, by the way, is Abraham's great niece, if you want to do all the thinking there. Verse 17, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher up and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Young men, I'll tell you who to look for a wife. It's right here in this text. It mentions she's fair to look upon. There's somebody for everybody that's supposed to get married. There's somebody you will love, you will fall in love with the way they look. But that's, it goes a whole lot more than that. We're talking about high character. She was pure. The Bible says she was a virgin. She was kind. She wasn't just about taking care of herself. This servant of Abraham was a complete stranger to her. She not only gave water to Abraham's servant, she gave water to the 10 camels and the men that were with him. There were others with him. 10 camels. I thought to myself, I know how a horse drinks. Nothing drinks like a horse drinks. I mean, you can hear them gulping across the barnyard if they're thirsty. It's gook, 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 gook. And they drink a lot of water. I remember hauling buckets of water out to the barn before we had water in the barn. And it seems like we did it all day long. And I know that's not the case because I think back and realize, well, that'd have been about Hayden's age. And I know Dad wouldn't have had us doing it morning and night and hauling all those buckets. Would you have, Dad? I don't think so. But they drink a lot of water. So I did a little research. A camel, a single camel, in 13 minutes, drinks 30 gallons of water. There's 10 camels here. I don't know if she drank, she gave them water until the camels were to the full or not, but that's 300 gallons of water in a very short period of time. You know what else about Rebecca? She was hardworking. She had a work ethic. I'm just telling you, young guys, that's the lady to look for. Somebody's pure, high character, hardworking, selfless. It's not about them. It's not like they're queen of the house. Young ladies, there's some things you need to work on, right? Okay, let's go back to the text here. And that's not what I was preaching this morning, but I just wanted to throw that. I told you I wanted to help you. I'm at least helping the young men here tonight, this morning anyway. And so the servant of God is reliable, obedient, gets the job done. The servant of God knows that God is going to provide enough to get the job done, is a person of prayer and will do the right thing, always, always, always does the right thing. A servant of God puts God's work before his own or her own desires. Let's read on just a little bit. Verse 21, and the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets of her hands, for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? And tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. That makes her a great niece to Abraham. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Now, the center of this story this morning in my preaching, I got to draw this to a close already, is not Isaac, nor is it Rebecca. And really, it's not Abraham. I'm preaching on being a servant. It's the servant of Abraham. In this passage, unnamed, who's doing his best to fulfill the wishes of his master. There's so much here. I think there's 68 verses, 68 in this chapter alone. Maybe it's more than that, 67. And I can't preach it all verse by verse, but they all come to the same conclusion. Laban, the brother of Rebecca, runs out to meet the servant of Abraham and takes care of him, brings him back, and they say, come on in, it's time to eat. We're going to feed you. We're going to house you, take care of all your people. But look what it says. Look at verse 33. Just verse 33. And there was set meat before him. This is the servant of Abraham to eat. And he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I'm not going to eat until I fulfill the mission that I am on. If you read the rest of the chapter, Laban and Laban's father say to Rebecca, "Are you willing to go with this man?" And she said, "I am." The last verse of the chapter, she becomes Isaac's wife. There's a lot of preaching between there. One thing that I'd like to close with, and I'm not going to be able to read all of the verses, but the servant of God gives all the glory to God. Now let's go all the way back to the beginning of the message. And I said I wanted to preach to you concerning the greatest office, if I could use that word kind of loosely, the greatest position in the church of Jesus Christ beneath the head, that's Jesus, is the servant. Jesus said, "He that would be the greatest will be the servant of all." It's possible to have a position in the family of God in the New Testament church and not be a servant. Maybe you do what you do because you get paid for it. That's empty. There's no rewards there. Perhaps you do what you do for the praise of men. That's shallow. There's no rewards there. Jesus said, "You receive your reward here on this earth, not in heaven." Or perhaps you're a servant of God, a servant of the Master, and you do things just to be a blessing, just to be part of the work, because you're in love with the Master. You don't need any rank or title for that. You serve God because you love Him. In Exodus in chapter 21, don't turn there, we don't have time, there's a thing called a bond slave. Paul said we're bond slaves of Jesus Christ. A bond slave is someone who was a slave because of a debt. And he serves his master for, I think it's 6 years. At the end of the 6 years, he's able to leave. He's a free man. Sometimes they'd get to the end of the 6 years and their master was so good to them, they didn't want to leave. So they became a bond slave, a voluntary slave. The sign was they'd stand next to the doorpost and they'd drive an awl through the bottom of their ear. And they were a bond slave. They belonged to the master. You and I ought to be voluntary slaves to Jesus Christ, our master. And we serve him because he's been good to us. Man, I don't want to go. I want to stay right here. I want to serve him because I owe him everything. The privilege, the service. He that will be greatest will be the servant of all.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like a scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.